This morning's scripture comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Abba, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we forgive ourselves and everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us into a time of trial.'" And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given unto you, and search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly parent give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" These are our sacred stories. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." The disciples of Jesus don't want to be left out. They never do. They're always clamoring for who will be first, who sits where, who carries what. The disciples of John have a prayer, and the disciples of Jesus want one too. They get more than they bargained for. They wanted something simple, preferably rhyming. Instead, Jesus responds with a prayer about the kingdom coming, bread for each day, about forgiveness in times of trial. And then Jesus keeps talking. He doesn't give them any time to memorize the prayer. No, Jesus goes from praying to telling a story about hospitality to an unexpected visitor in the middle of the night, only there's no food in your house. And so you go to your neighbor and you knock and you try not to wake everyone up. So you cry in hushed tones, "Could you lend me 3 loaves of bread? I have an unexpected guest and I have nothing to set before him." And the sleepy voice inside the neighbor's house says, "I can't get up and get you anything. Didn't you see the door was already closed? Don't you realize my children are asleep around me? If I get up and get you some food, I'll wake the whole house. Go away." But you need the bread. You need to be hospitable. So you just keep knocking and you just keep asking. And finally, the bread is thrust through a crack in the door. "Take it. Anything to restore some peace and quiet." What is Jesus talking about? The disciples just wanted a prayer, like John's disciples. Some words to say, that's all. What does Jesus mean by talking about doing something? What does Jesus mean by talking about doing something? Offering hospitality, going to our neighbor, staying and asking until something's done. Just tell us the prayer again, Jesus, so we can memorize it. But Jesus doesn't repeat the prayer. He continues, "Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion?" The prayer is the beginning. Action is what follows. Ask, yes, ask. Then search, find, knock, open, receive, give. I've always heard these words to mean that if I'm not getting what I'm praying for, it's because I'm not praying hard enough, often enough, holy enough. But what if Jesus is telling the disciples and telling us that the words are not enough, that our prayers require action? Jesus didn't just pray, "Your kingdom come on earth." He lived it each day. He brought the kingdom of God to earth with each shared meal, each act of mercy, each story meant to challenge and encourage, each move toward justice. "Your kingdom come on earth." Jesus prayed and taught and lived. And they killed him for it, for his treason, for his loyalty to the realm of God. The notice on the cross where Jesus was executed by the empire was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. It said, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Charges of political sedition dogged the first Christians. In his little book, The Christians as the Romans Saw Them, written in 1984, historian Robert Louis Wilkins speaks of the broad and deep antipathy that developed in the first 5 centuries toward the Christian movement. Christians were thought to be fanatical, seditious, obstinate, and defiant. Tacitus called them haters of mankind. They scorned long-held Roman religious traditions. Many of their adherents came from the lower classes and seemed gullible. They refused military service and met for clandestine rites rumored to include cannibalism, ritual murder, and incest. All of which is to say, in the words of one early critic, the Christians do not understand their civic duty. In his view, they actively undermine society with their indifference to civic affairs. Some critics even blamed Christians for the fall of Rome. Jesus was born in the midst of the Roman Empire. From the moment of learning of his birth, he was seen as a threat. As he began teaching about the kingdom of God, his perceived threat grew until the empire killed him. State execution for treason. Jesus was talking about and living an alternative to the kingdoms of this world. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, like a merchant in search of pearls, like yeast, like lost sheep, like a lost coin." Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, for to such as these belongs the kingdom of God." Jesus is presenting an alternative. The Lord's Prayer, then, just might be the most subversive of all political acts. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom, God's kingdom. If God is king, Caesar is not. If God is king, the kingdom of equals is reigning even now as we create it with our welcome and our love, our justice and our compassion. Voiced prayer alone will never bring the realm of God to the here and now. we must live our prayers. Thoughts and prayers alone are not solutions for the horror, the terror, the blood that continues to flow from bullet-ridden bodies on asphalt and schools and city streets and airports and nightclubs and places of work and leisure, places of celebration. Thoughts and prayers alone will not help those desperate at our borders. We pray, yes, pray, and we work for justice. We live the kingdom of God here and now. Astronaut James Irwin was the lunar module pilot on Apollo 15. He was the 8th person to walk on the moon. When his feet touched the moon's surface, he said that he prayed for the first time. He told an interviewer later that at that moment, he looked up to the Earth with all its beauty, and he thought of his wife somewhere on the Earth. He thought he must return and put right an argument that he had with her. He thought of all the wars and hunger on our beautiful planet. And then he said, "What is more important than anyone walking on the moon is that God should walk on the earth. Your kingdom come." We bring the realm of God. We are God's feet upon the earth. We are God's hands. When you pray, say, "Abba, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive ourselves and everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." But Jesus doesn't leave it with prayer. He prays and then he speaks of hospitality, of persistence, of knocking, seeking, finding, action. We pray for bread for all, and we give our bread for First Sunday food offering and Grace Place and hospitality apartments and interfaith ministries and shared meals in our fellowship hall. We pray for forgiveness, and with the next breath, connect our forgiveness to our forgiving. This is work. It's effort. We pray for God's kingdom to come, and we join our actions to our words. Jesus said, "Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." The words and the silence of prayer matter. And to the words and the silence, we must add our choices, our acts of love, our work for justice. In this way, we pray with our words and our lives, "Your kingdom come on earth." Amen.